This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Fridays means story time. Joey Harrington joins us here on The Fan, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. It's been a couple weeks. Did you miss us?
I was like, don't just like rush right in here like you didn't abandon me. I get this cryptic text a couple weeks ago saying, no show. It's like, no show? What do you mean? Like, and where were you?
Oh, me? I was off.
Yeah.
Souk's in Italy and is again today. By the way, Patrick Harris is here. Say hello to Patrick Harris. He is, we like Patrick, except that he's a Coug, so don't hold that against
him. Whoa.
That's okay. Cougs never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Cougs, you know, they always get close and then they trip on their own feet and they Coug it away.
See,
so it's okay.
We had that conversation the other day, Joey, about like, fan bases that are just used to suffering. And I made the argument that my fan base is the number one fan base. Isaac came back with Virginia Tech.
Well, he said, okay, here,
yes, this, qualify, please.
This is good for you to weigh in on. Okay, so
all right.
Actually, I have two questions for you about the Cougs now that we're spinning the hits here.
I'm hot today.
One is, okay, so the other day he said the Cougs are the most passionate fan base that is the most irrelevant. And
so hold on. Before we get too far down this, I need guardrails. I need okay. You to qualify.
Yeah.
Are we only talking about collegiate sports? Can we include the NFL? Can we? Okay. So this is only college.
Yeah. Only college. And we're talking about entire athletic fan base. So
it's not just football.
It's typically football, but
yes,
it doesn't have to be. Because I thought of Indiana, like they're super passionate, but I mean their program hasn't done much of anything. But they have titles. But he's right. Like the Cougs are super passionate. I mean that is a passionate fan base. They're into it. But I mean, and it's not that they lose all the time. They don't. They've had some good seasons and some good coaches. But they're just, especially now, they're kind of irrelevant. The one that I brought up that's maybe a comp is Virginia Tech, because they are super passionate and don't really win anything.
Well, but that doesn't make them irrelevant. I would argue that the Cougs' irrelevance has to do with conference or lack thereof affiliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's what makes them irrelevant at the moment. I mean, I think you could make an argument for maybe Utah if they weren't in the Big 12, right? You can make an argument for Utah being extremely passionate but irrelevant. I think you could make. I might put Fresno State in there.
Ooh, that's Fresno, good.
Fresno, you know, if you're looking at like the, you know, those secondary Cal schools. Fresno's going to be in there.
Yeah, because they are passionate down there.
Oh, yeah. There have been plenty of, you know, plenty of people who've gotten beer dumped on them coming out of the tunnel at Fresno.
Like, I think that Suk said he got batteries thrown at him by a kid in a wheelchair there.
They also have number one overall picks, right? David Carr.
Yeah, I know all about David. Yeah.
Ironically, that's
my guy. We never spoken.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How is that?
I have no idea. And it just dawned on me. We were the same draft. He was the first pick. I was the third. I don't believe that I have ever spoken to David Carr.
Weird. Well, back then you didn't go to the draft, right?
I chose not to, correct. Yeah, I wanted to stay home and hang out at my grandparents' house at the park and, be with family. You only got to bring six people. You had one eight top, like round table. And that's all you got. And it's like, you know, I have my grandparents, my cousins, aunt and uncle, roommates. It's like, yeah, we're just going to hang around. And, you know, that was a great day, actually. After I got drafted and did that whole, you know, whole spiel, you know, because I didn't know when I was going to get drafted. It happened like really early in the morning, and then you know I hit like 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Like now what? You know, what do I do? I wasn't leaving for Detroit till the next day, so it's like, well, let's go over to Rose City. So we took a couple, six packs over to Rose City. And that was the first time I ever shot even par.
Oh my
there
god,
you go.
That's amazing.
but you never even after a game, because you guys played in the league for a decent amount of time. You never once crossed the field at the end of the game and said, "Hey, what's up?"
I think by the time I played at Houston, he was already in New York. Or where'd he go? New York or Carolina first?
I think
New York. Okay. I don't know that our paths ever crossed.
That's weird.
That's wild.
Check that. Carolina against Atlanta.
Yeah, he spent one. That was 2007.
Yep, Jake Delhomme got. I think that's when Jake Delhomme had his like season-ending injury. Remember where he missed that season, and David came in and played for him. But I don't know that I talked to him after the game.
You guys beat him 20-13. What a win!
Big win. Big win.
So when did you know you were going third? At what point?
At the point that I got picked third.
Really? So you? What did you think?
I've told you this story about being on the phone with the NFL executive.
Refresh our memory.
I've told you this. Okay, so we're sitting in the living room. We're at my grandparents' house, are over by Laurelhurst Park, and there's probably, you know, 50 of us at the house, and big, you know, big screen TV, and we're all just kind of hanging out. And I knew that like someplace between 3 and 16 ish, I would be potentially picked. It was Buffalo was maybe looking, and Cincy was looking, and Kansas City, and Washington. Washington ended up trading down, and then Detroit. And there were two brothers, and I cannot remember their last names. We're going to call them Smith, that were both front office executives in the NFL. One worked for the Lions and one worked for the Cardinals. And so I got the Lions are on the clock, and the phone rings, and my agent hands it to me, and he says, "It's Mr. Smith from the Cardinals." And, you know, hello, hi, you know, how are you doing? Oh, I'm great, sir. How are you? I'm doing really well. So, you know, just checking in. You excited? We're about ready to pick you. And I said, with all due respect, it's not your selection. He said, "Who the hell you think you're talking to?" I said, "Mr. Smith from the Cardinals." He said, "No, this is Mr. Smith from the Lions." And so I put the phone up against my chest and I looked at my agent. I was like, "It's the Lions." He's like, "Oh, my mistake." And then, like, sure enough, like at that moment, Tagliabue says, "And with the third pick of the NFL draft, the Detroit Lions select Joey Harrington, quarterback, University of Oregon."
Oh,
and then, bing, that's when I knew I was going to Detroit.
Like, oh, my
that was,
God.
I was on the phone thinking that I was talking to the Cardinals, and then, like, 30 seconds later, bing, I'm going to Detroit. That's actually, no, 30 seconds later, I was going to Rose City with a six-pack. And then the next day...
Shooting even far.
Two six-packs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you thought you were going to the... What a mind F. Like, you're sitting there going, okay, all these things are racing through your head about going to Arizona. Who was the coach there at the time? Was that Denny Green?
I can't even remember. Because they weren't really... But they weren't on the clock.
Yeah,
it wasn't their pick. So they're calling to say, hey, you know, we're going to pick you. And I was like... No, you're not. It's not, you know, there's a few people in line here. But yeah, no, it was completely, had no idea what was going on. How did we get on this topic?
I don't know, but
the draft is over.
Well, I'm going to get it back because this is what I do. It's all in my head. We'll get it back to the Cougs. But now I have another question. Was there a team that you really wanted to go to?
Well, I want to go to Kansas City.
Why?
Kansas City or Washington? Kansas City because it was Dick Vermeil. It was Denny Shuler. It was an incredible veteran coaching staff. Trent Green was there. You know, between you, me, and the fence post, I loved the idea of sitting for a year or two.
Mm.
You know, I loved the idea of, you know, pulling a, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Carson Palmer or Eli Manning, or, you know, pick your guy who got to sit and watch and then step in and play. And yeah, that just, they were the best run organization. That was, the other one that I was really curious about was Washington, because that's when Steve Spurrier was there. And my meeting with Steve Spurrier was really interesting. Like, we didn't talk football. We didn't talk, you know, anything. He's just like, yep, we chuck it around. You like golf, Joey? I was like, yeah, I like golf. And he's like, well, that's good, because every day about 2 o'clock, we go play golf. It's like, what do you mean? Like, no, meetings are done. Like, what about meetings? Like, nah, we don't do meetings. We just go out and we play golf. It's like, sweet. So, ironically, it probably wouldn't have lasted very long there in Washington, but I was curious about the Spurrier's offense, you know, coming out of Florida. But, yeah, that's where I wanted to go.
Or maybe it would have been greatness, you know?
Or it could have been greatness.
Don't overthink it. You become a great golfer anyway.
There you go.
So, 2001, it's 2001, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that was Arizona had Jake Plummer. And that was McGinnis was their head coach. I don't know who that is. I don't remember him. Anyway.
It wasn't Willie.
Dave McGinnis.
Dave.
Okay.
That's right.
We got to take a break. And when we come back, more with Joey, we'll get back on the Cougs. We got to get back on hot Cougs talk. And then Shador dropped all the way to the fifth round. We'll talk about that with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Okay, to get it all the way back to the first question, you brought up a great one, Fresno State. This is because Patrick Harris is here, he's a big Coug. He thinks they're the most passionate fan base that's the most irrelevant in college athletics. Fresno State's a good one. Might I toss out the FCS schools, the Montanas, the North Dakota States? Do you think they are more or less irrelevant than Washington State because they have just as passionate fan bases?
Significantly more relevant.
Ah,
absolutely more. I would much rather win a FCS national championship than be in a position where the Cougs are, which is in just like college football purgatory. Like, there's nothing that they can do. The Bisons, the North Dakota State Bison, are that's a very relevant fan base, in my opinion.
That's what I was trying to say. Just because their coaches might leave for programs like my program doesn't mean it's a more relevant spot. It's
program.
just a bump up.
Your program to get to somebody else's
exactly.
program.
Exactly.
Okay, yes. So next question is, because you love, everybody loves the Cougs. The Cougs are adorable. Everybody loves them. when you played, power rank the hated rivals. Was it what I assume it's Washington 1, Oregon State 2, but I think back then the Beavers rivalry was really hot and heavy. Joey five pick?
Beavs are one.
Okay, Beavs one. Then Huskies?
They were good. The Beavs were, that was Jonathan Smith, Ken Simonton, Chad Johnson, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Barnett, Jake Kukoc. That was
probably their best team.
Lawrence Grant. Oh, hands down their best team. And we, you know, and then I, was it six? Five picks. Yeah. Five picks and
Joey
a fumble. You know, so that was, yeah, there you go. So Beavers won, Huskies two. Because of the so many guys from Southern California, like probably a half of our roster was from Southern California. USC was number three, and then I would probably put Cougs four.
Ooh,
Because those were some good years.
Yeah,
that
coming
was
off
Jason
Ryan
Gesser.
Leaf, Jason Gesser, yeah.
We had a couple battles up there. We played in Pullman 2 years in a row, my junior year and my senior year, and both of them, one came down to the last play and the other went to overtime and came down to the last. I mean, it was those are both great, great games. And playing up there where it was like, that was when I took a leak on the sideline. And
at the hallowed grounds of Martin Stadium, you peed on the sidelines?
In the snow.
Oh, on the snow, yeah. No, it snowed on the field, and it snowed the night before, so they plowed the field and, you know, built up the snowbanks. And the distance between the field and the visitor's locker room was too much, and so I was like, screw this, like, I can't make it back to the bathroom. And so we just opened up one of the equipment chests as kind of like a screen, and I peed on the sideline, but it hit the snowbank, and so it, like, made this big old steam. And so, like, the entire section, like, looked straight towards me as I was taking a leak. That's you're new to the show, so you know that's a new story to you, but that's an old one.
Yeah. So Shador fell all the way to the fifth round. We've talked about him before. I mean,
yeah, he probably peed on the sideline too.
Well, he certainly did something wrong. But my question to you is, like, I feel like, I mean, and it's an interesting topic because of his dad and his, you know, kind of his personality. But I mean, if you fall that far, the league evaluates you, right? Like, they all do their homework. Even if you have red flags, if they think you can play, you're going to get selected a much higher than the fifth round. So isn't it just as simple as the league evaluated him and he just maybe isn't that great?
I don't think it's that simple.
Okay.
Here's what I think, and this is my, you know, my two cents.
Well, you were there. At the draft, so.
I wasn't at the draft. I was
well,
at the
I
combine.
Mean, yeah, at combine. You worked with a lot of the quarterbacks, so.
Yeah, here's what I think. Call it five teams that needed a quarterback that were in the truly in the market, right? One, Cam Ward goes, and then you start. There's this, and let me guess. Ask it like this: who was it that was leading the charge on the Shador hype train? Was it NFL GMs?
Nope.
It wasn't.
Media.
Right, exactly. And with the NFL draft, it is the biggest smoke and mirrors, you know, splash a little water over here so that you don't see what's going on, you know, what I'm really doing over here. Nobody wants people to know who they're going to select. So I genuinely think once you got by that first pick, then you had that group of like four or five different guys that I would likely say maybe two, three, four guys that were all kind of in the same boat. And what I think happened is the Giants were on, you know, had the pick, and, you know, all these teams are happy to have them. Other people think that they want to take Shador Sanders, when in reality, the Giants wanted to take Jackson Dart. And in reality, the Saints wanted to take Tyler Shuck. So your point, they do their own evaluations, right? And I think there was a big three-card Monty game going on that the NFL teams were happy to have somebody else thinking that, you know, people thinking that somebody else was their prize. And then you get to a point, end of the second, third round, where the teams that may have been in the market, they know that nobody else is going to come get them. Hmm. right? So if I know that the Saints aren't going to pick him, I know that the Giants aren't going to pick him, why would I use my pick right now for Shadur when I could fill some other holes? Now, the one thing that gets to me, and I've thought about this, the one thing that confused me, and this is how I think, when the Browns picked Dylan, that was the one that threw me a curveball. I was like, okay, now we got an issue. And the way that I can justify it is the Browns knew they were going to take two guys, right? Because who do they have? They literally have nobody. Deshaun's never going to play for him again. Joe Flacco is, you know, they literally had to bring him out of a coffin to keep playing. Kenny Pickett's not their answer. So this is like Washington, what, 10, 15 years ago when they took Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin.
Yeah.
One of those guys is going to end up being their guy. Mm. I think they were planning on taking two. And they said in that room, and again, this is me just, you know, trying to put pieces together. I think they said, if we take Shadur in the third, there's a possibility that someone will come and take Dylan before we can get back to him. But the fact that everybody has passed on Shadur at this point means that we can continue to pass on him and fill the other things that we wanted. And so I think we take Dylan now. Under the assumption that, you know, like we talked about, the teams that, you know, would have, should have, could have taken him, they didn't. So I think he's still going to be there. I think it was a calculated risk on their part to take the other pieces that they wanted, knowing that somebody else wasn't going to come and grab them. And they ended up getting both him and Dylan. Now, why did he fall that far? You know, if I'm doing my, you know, my 2 cent evaluation, I had him as a, you know, probably top of the second kind of guy. Could he have popped into the first if there was a rush on quarterback? Sure. If somebody loved him, sure. But I genuinely think that you're starting to hear stories come out about a team giving him the playbook and say, hey, study this, so we can do some film work. And instead of studying it, he came in and asking how the organization was going to support him. Hmm. I genuinely think that when you're making a decision as an organization to invest millions of dollars, and not just straight cash to him, but, you know, this is the person on which you're going to put the foundation of your franchise. Like this, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and Suk made a great point. Is he a guy that says, what can I do for your team? Or is he a guy that says, what can your team do for me?
Yeah.
And if you're trying, you know, if you're then making an evaluation at top of second round between talented players who fall into the first category, which is what can I do for your team, versus a talented player who may say, what can your team do for me? You know, I don't, at least for me, it makes sense. So I think you just kind of had a combination, like the perfect storm of all of those different situations come together to a point where you saw a guy fall from potentially, you know, middle of the first round all the way to the third day.
If you take away the giant personality and all the hoopla that is around Shadur, do we just chalk this up to a bad quarterback draft? Or are we still screaming to the heavens about quarterbacks and how far they fell because of the sexiness of the position, the desire, how every team needs a franchise quarterback? Can't this just
be... What do you mean by that? What do you mean? Say that in a different way.
Maybe it's in comparison to last year, where you see four or five quarterbacks come off the board in the first round. And all of them, for the most part, have some success. Maybe Penix is still wait and see because Kirk started for most of the year. But can't there just be a year where it's just not as plentiful? And the only reason we're getting this is because of who Shadur Sanders is?
I think I can agree with the first part of your statement, but not necessarily this. Second, I do agree that this is a year where there weren't as many like sewer fire first round draft picks at quarterback. And I don't necessarily think that who Shadur is or what he has been up to this point will determine what kind of player he's going to be, right? Because, again, we're still making outside of value. Like, there is an assumption in this. In all of this, like, you know, we're speaking on here. Like, he could still end up being a hell of an NFL quarterback. He has the talent to do it, right? It's going to be what he chooses to do from this point forward. So I do think that it is a year in which there weren't as many knock it out of the park first round quarterbacks. And I also think that these quarterbacks who were drafted later, Shadur being one of them, could also have fantastic NFL careers.
All right, well, we're out of time. The big Zucchini will be back next week from his Italian vacation. You know, he might have killed the Pope, Joey. I mean, we kind of buried the lead here. You know, the Pope dies, and then he shows up in Rome.
Hold on. So he showed up after the Pope died.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two days after. I don't think
he killed the Pope. I don't think he killed the Pope. I think that he is a cardinal in hiding.
Conclave.
Yeah.
He's there to vote.
He is Souk. He was the mole planted at the Mormon University, right? To infiltrate, to understand. Then Pope dies. Bam, come back. He's summoned back to the Vatican for the College of Cardinals. Souk is okay. What is? Have you seen the movie Conclave?
I have.
No.
It is called A Cardinal in theory, he is an appointed cardinal that nobody actually knows about because his job is in such a dangerous situation. Cardinal, we're gonna have to look this up.
Is that the Ralph Fiennes character?
He's the one who ends up being elected Pope.
Oh,
he was the cardinal of...
Nobody knew who he was, right.
Nobody knew who he was because he was in such a dangerous situation. They didn't want to reveal his true identity, which is what Souk was while he was in Provo, Utah, at the Mormon University. Souk is a cardinal in hiding.
Except for if the twist of that movie is the twist in real life. I got a lot of questions for Jason when he gets back.
we got all sorts of questions. He's not coming back. That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's not going to come back because he will be elected Pope.
Oh my God.
And he will take up residence immediately at the Vatican. He will change his name to, what do you think his Pope name would be?
Pope Iserman.
Iserman. Iserman the First. Pope Iserman the First. There it is.
Right.
Named after St. Iserman of Detroit, the incredible hockey player and somewhat mediocre general manager. I've totally killed your next segment. Sorry.
Yeah, Bye. That's okay. Bye. That's Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX, the future of building material. Yes, the first stick and puck coach. You hockey guys would like that. We'll have the club coming up next on The Fan.